music.
Hello. This is Dick Pertin on the air every morning on Keto from 5 until 9. Goodbye.
Fly the nonstop sound of Keener 13, 9 to noontime daily on the Ted Clark Show. Right, Stella?
You said it!
Hi there, this is Jerry Goodwin, noon to 3 daily on WKNR, the best thing that ever happened to the Bob Green Show.
Let's discuss that later in the Keener commissary, okay, Jer? The Bob Green Show, 3 to 7 p.m. with all the Keener hits, only to be continued on the
Scott Regan Show.
With much more music.
You squeak, hello there. It's me, Rodney the Wonder Rodent. Reminding you to set your watch. It's 10 to 1 now.
Hello, everybody. Jim Jeffries all night long on WKNR.
And Paul Cannon, Saturdays on Keener 13 with nonstop
music. That's our middle name, WKNR. Music. Keener 13.
Teddy Xers, welcome to Market Scope for October 2007. This month, Paul Burkhart of Watertown, Massachusetts, joins us once again to continue his Cape Cod AM band scan. We begin our scan at 1,000 kilohertz.
1,000 WMVP Chicago.
Night and Sunday as a weak area of low pressure scoots by to our south. I think the bigger story is that once this low pressure system departs, it'll be ushering in some colder air for President's Day. It'll be windy. High Monday of just 28, but temperatures should bounce back again. Could even reach the low 40s by the middle of next week. 23 and clear now. Humidity 48%. The wind west gusting to 18 miles per hour. It's clear and 23, going down to 17 in Midtown. The AccuWeather watch never stops. I'm meteorologist Kerr Babinski on New York's weather station. 10-10 winds.
When's news time? 11:13.
This American tragedy. Because I got a feeling that
KDKA Pittsburgh.
The world is catching up to us because they're becoming entertainment obsessed as well.
I was fought for this country. They fought for freedom of speech. But of course, they didn't volunteer. They had to go in. But since then, they've learned it's all around corporate power.
WBZ in Boston with a Spanish station underneath at 10:30.
Well, a couple of things, Jane. It's interesting. I'm not taking away from your thought about what you're hearing. But when I listen...
Here is 10:40 on the dial.
Build it from the ground up.
You bet. Kansas City.
Here is 10:50 WEPN in New York.
Ever seen a better freshman?
I will say this.
Here is 10:60. Some classical station on 10:60. /10:70 CBA in Moncton, New Brunswick.
Out the press again. By the way, New York Observer.
Here's 10:80 WTIC Hartford, Connecticut.
During the election campaign.
Okay, WBAL Baltimore at 10:90.
Staffed with professional.
Most of us have never really tried to develop these sensitivities. And there are people who do try to develop them.
Oh, WTAM in Cleveland, Ohio at 1100.
Hotel.
1110 WBT Charlotte, North Carolina.
Down the halls. Oh.
War. News Talk 1110 WBT.
Bloomberg 1130.
If you were listening to Bloomberg on the weekend,
I'd love to visit the son of the Castro district. That's where Bob Rand is today. As you can see on an emergency.
Here is 1140 WRVA in Richmond with a rock station. Let's see what this is. Here comes 1150. Here's there's some Chicago station at 1160, and there's another station, a few of them.
By whatever anyone is made.
1170 WWVA, Wheeling, West Virginia.
Or overcome, or made worse.
They plan other.
WHAM Rochester, New York, 1180.
Or defunding. Guarantee that they'll deny our troops.
We're benefiting for Asian stays, and I'm so mad. And the bots in my life. So mad before him smoking Norfolk. Good. Keyboard boy Johnson, I made it. And at the top of the hour, the sounds of Joe Pace. The load you brought me from a mighty long way. Coming up, the Cheval de Hawk is Virtue and some Desmond Pringle. All that more happening for you this evening right here on your favorite inspiration station.
WLIB, New York City.
797.
Okay, here is 1200. Let's see what we can bring in now, folks.
Australia, could you?
Guest WOAI San Antonio, Texas, with some other stations. Let's go up the dial again, folks.
You better believe it.
I just wonder how much we'll see renewed energy.
WPHT Philadelphia, 1210.
Number two, ProPax, 1877, the number two.
Let's see if I got the right number.
Okay, here is 1220, and I'm going to go up to 1230 now. Nothing on 1230.
It's a reminder that astronauts are people too.
1240 WBURAM West Yarmouth here on Cape Cod.
Fact is, we want astronauts to be our heroes, and so many of them have actually admirably served that role.
Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as
a variety of prophylactics?
Here is 1250, an oldie station, possibly WARE in Ware, Mass, with some other stations. Here is 1270 WTSN Dover, New Hampshire. I would think there are some other stations. Okay, here's 1280. Okay, here's 1290. $1,300. $1,310.
$1,320. Bethlehem means house of bread and Judah means praise. And here's a man that lived in the house of bread and praise, but he left to avoid the judgment.
$1,330.
And there was a judgment in the house of God.
Graveyard Station at 1340.
No.
50.
50%. You can too. Call toll free 1-866-600.
Here is 1360. Let's see what this station is. Seems like we're getting a Spanish station on 1560 as well, folks. Here's 1370. I believe it's WDEA in Ellsworth, Maine. Now, let's see if we can catch something from that station. $13.80, folks. POP Hartford and other stations. $14.50. $14.60. $14.70. WTWP Washington.
Up to $2,000 on select models at Orst.
Credit cards handy because we are going over to the discount rack. This is a very important 10 minutes where no matter what you're watching on HSN or on QVC, this.
Okay, here's 1510 The Zone, WWZN up in Boston.
Limited edition, as we always like to have here at the discount rack.
This is the first time I flew in, but
what do you do? Why are you in Albuquerque? What do you do there?
And 1520 is WWKB up in Buffalo.
But I have.
Are you still in the biz?
Talk to your son about not smoking marijuana, right?
Well, of course.
Well, some other people are telling him something different. Here, let's send him a text message. Ask him what he's up to.
Good idea. Let's do it.
Staying in touch. Be anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
$15.30 in Cincinnati, Ohio.
The Miami Dolphins dropping in. It is what it is. Now Popeye back in the day said I am what I am.
$15.40 that's a religious station in Albany, New York.
You, O Lord, are my refuge. By your mercy, you cover me.
$15.50. $15.60, that's WQEW in New York City. Here is $15.70. $15.80, CKDL in Oshawa, Ontario. $15.90.
Talk to all of America from anywhere in America on Air America Radio.
Streaming live at airamericaradio.com.
If you're living in a space.
$1,600. Now, up on the expanded band, we go to 1650. Apparently, there's a Radio Disney station on that frequency. Anybody know where that is? $16.60, that's WRV, Jersey City, New Jersey. And the station in Florida at 1660.
Remember, if you'd like to contribute air checks or radio audio that would be of interest to the DX Audio Service members, send it to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351, 1652. We all would be very grateful for your input. Now here are the musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the action line.
Hey, baby, I'm your telephone man. You just show me where you want it and I'll put it where I can.
The Musers.
Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. I'd like to first of all acknowledge a nice call I got from our friend Mike Lance. And Mike's got a new radio, and he's quite happy with it. Up here, on the 1st of August, 107.3 FM came on the air, CJDL. Their colors had been CKOT for a long time. I think they'll still keep it for the 101.3. 1510 on the AM is simulcasting with them for 30 days. Then a decision will be made, as I understand it. I've talked to some people up there. WSAI in Cincinnati on 1360 for the third time has gone all sports. They're with ESPN. So WCKY still has the Fox Sports, but WSAI now, they've been rock three times, they've been country once that I know of, and they were all talk, and now for the third time, they're doing a sports format. I'm wondering about this station in the suburbs, more or less, of Erie, Pennsylvania, that was supposed to go on 1590. They got a license back, I believe, in the winter, and we were supposed to be able to get them up here, particularly in the daytime, but I don't know anything about it yet. I don't think it's gone on the air, and I'm wondering what will be their format.
Hi, DXers. Mike Dukin calling from Hayward, Wisconsin, with some comments. First of all, I am really enjoying Mark Dernberger's trip down the Missouri River, and thank you very much, Mark, for featuring the stations from Great Falls, Montana. At one time, I had relatives that lived there, and my family and I took a trip out there in the mid-60s and mid-70s. And back in 1966, or at least in that the summer of that year, they had a great top 40 station called KUDI at 1450. They called themselves QD145, and they were 3 years behind the times with reverb, echo, and with those great PAMS jingles that we all know and love. And the station on 1400, it was KARR, and was the first radio station I had ever been inside of. The board operator was running NBC monitor, and he showed me the AM and FM studios there. 1310 then was KFBB, which was the CBS affiliate. Now there, that's, last I heard, that's the call letters of Channel 5 television out there. And 560 KMON was kind of the cowboy country station with a signal that lasted forever. You could get them 300 miles away. So that's what I wanted to tell you about Great Falls, Montana. Mark, thank you so much. Fred, in your trip up the UP, there were two stations that you kind of wondered about, and I think I can tell you. The 1420 station that was bringing Sean Hannity that you picked up at night could have been KTOE in Mankato, Minnesota, and the Spanish station on 1480, which is a far cry from WDGS or WDJS, could have been WLMV out of Madison, Wisconsin. And speaking of Spanish stations, WJTI in Racine, Wisconsin is indeed back on the air at 1460. I understand they came on around the 30th of July, and they are running Spanish under something called La Nueve Ritmo. That is at 73s and Good DX.
Hi there, this is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. I would like to inform you that as of this time, the sound that I mentioned a few months ago on the DX audio service, the sound no longer exists, that strange sound. The station goes off the air, but there's no strange sound anymore. The 1550 AM sounds completely normal. I have a question, though. When stations change, either change their directional pattern or lower their power, do they have to go off the air for about 5 seconds? I noticed that 1700, when they changed their power at 7 a.m., they just pulled a switch and there was no transmission interruption whatsoever. Is that occurring mostly nowadays when the stations lower or raise their power, change their directional pattern, whatever the case may be? Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is John Sanders. I'm calling from the Diamonddale, Michigan area. I have a general question. It's about the radio. On some AM stations, how many towers are stations allowed to have? You know, what's the maximum amount of towers that a station can have? 73 is Good DX.
Mark Dernberger in the Musings Control Room. First, to answer Don Finney's question about stations going off momentarily during power changes at night and in the morning. There are two types of operations at power change time in most stations. Either a station simply changing power level without changing antennas. That is done instantaneously, and about the only way you know a power change happened is that the signal gets noisier or quieter. Or, more common, is the change where some switching of antennas or components is occurring, not just a transmitter power change. When you switch an antenna on a live station, you must momentarily extinguish the power as the switch is thrown, because for a brief moment during the mechanical movement of this switch, and these things are anywhere from 18 inches to 3 feet in size, the transmitter, for just a moment, isn't connected to anything as the switch moves from side to side. And if the transmitter isn't muted while the switch is moving, an electrical arc or even a fire could occur. So the station momentarily shuts off its transmitter during the time it takes for the antenna switches to move, and then the transmitter comes back on. You should know that this combination of switching and transmitter muting is usually done automatically at the command of the station's pattern change computer. And you should also be aware that the vast majority of AM stations today have such automated switching in place and operating to demonstrate good faith efforts, just in case the FCC inspector were to walk in the door. Don, I hope this answers your question. John Sanders asks about the largest number of towers in use at AM stations. It's likely the most complicated tower system in use today is a 10 to 12 tower system. Two examples, there's a 12 tower nighttime antenna at 1190 Dallas, now KFXR, featured in one of Scott Feibusch's wonderful tower site calendars. And there's WCHB in Taylor, Michigan, using 10 towers, also in their nighttime array, and there are probably some others. You may see 8, 10, or 12 towers standing at other stations, but bear in mind that some of these antennas may be used only for daytime coverage, say towers 1, 3, 5, and 7, and the others may be used only for the nighttime signal, so there may never be more than 5 or 6 in use at a time. The use of antenna arrays 8, 10, 12 or so is not always a good investment because of the cost of installation and particularly maintenance. These antennas don't always sound very good. And the end result is that the coverage is usually highly directed and it doesn't cover a broad area. But sometimes it's the only way to make a station comply with the FCC's interference rules. Mark Dernberger from Musings and the DX Audio Service. And now Fred has John Bowker on the telephone to chat about the 2007 National Radio Club Convention. and also to learn what's in store for the future.
Well, that's right, Mark, and we're going to be talking with John Bowker through the miracles of modern telephony and hear a little bit about what happened at the 2007 convention and what's going to happen in the future. And, John, you sound real excited.
Fred, I am so excited about the way it went. It was so loaded not to work for the National Radio Club. After all, how many times have we been that far west? And I don't recall in the last 20 years any time we've been that far. We went to Aurora once, and that worked pretty well. But here we were in the most remote city in the United States. And boy, they don't let you forget that. They're proud of that. Boise. And by the way, some people pronounce it with a Z in the middle. And oh, no, it's Boise. We got there Thursday night, and a lot of the attendees decided to come in early. Because Frank Aden, a man I had never met, just led us for 3 days through all the sites, the studios, the transmitter sites, introduced us to people, and told stories about his own background in the Boise area. It turns out, Fred, that a lot of radio and television personalities apparently escape to Boise from time to time because it is a quiet city. It's just a lovely location, and so it just flowed from one little bit to the next. I couldn't have been more pleased.
And how was radio in that that quaint little town?
Well, interesting. I had taken with me a small digital radio, and it really didn't work well at all. But I had rented a car, and so for two nights, along about, well, in one case, about 2 a.m, I must admit, I went down and just did a dial scan, and I was amazed at how many dead spots there are on the dial. But keep in mind, Boise is surrounded by mountains. Some of the people were listening in on with tuned loops and amplified this and that. They were coming back with some reports from Southern California. In fact, one of our attendees, Terry, I don't know if you've met Terry.
Terry anyway. Livingston Hughes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, a delightful gal, and she was there. I'm not sure she had any luck getting back to the old hometown by radio while she was there, but at least one other did. And I think everybody was so delighted to see what DXing was like from a venue they really had never dreamed they would ever start from. You know what I mean?
Well, I understand that this convention was kind of unique because we partnered up with another club.
Yeah, I don't think we have ever formally done that before, and it got kind of complicated there. What we did was partner up with the Worldwide Television FM DX Association, WTFDA. And that worked out very much to our advantage, too, because that's where Frank Aden came from, among other things. And people out in that area that belong to the WTFDA, who are not NRC members, at least not yet, a couple of them said they were going to be joining, a whole bunch of them brought a lot of new technology, which is very important to us, I think, Fred, and perspective that we hadn't. In fact, there is a museum right there just a little to the west of Boise in a town called Eagle, Idaho.
Okay.
And we were very impressed with the collection of equipment that they have gathered there from radio lore. It was much. Now, the other thing that I started to tell you, though, it turns out that there we were in Boise, just to the northwest of the city of Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And in Salt Lake City was the IRCA convention the weekend before.
It was what they would call a trifecta, huh?
Well, in a way, either that or people saying, I don't have to go to another convention, do I? But no, in fact, with many people a long way from home and having been able to plan this a long time in advance, some of them drove out to Salt Lake City, spent that weekend there, then drove around that part of the country where they'd never been before, wound up in Boise, sort of on their way home. And everything, all the pieces just fit so beautifully, Fred. I think everybody had a good time. I can tell you I sure did. I had the most relaxed time of any convention in the last 20 years, I tell you.
And I understand we did something a little bit different this year in that we didn't really have a formal banquet or anything. It was kind of every man for yourself.
Well, let me tell you, something funny happened. You're absolutely right. And the advantage was that our registration cost dropped from $40 or $45 to $15.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday night, I was Saturday afternoon late. I had some other matters I had to be taking care of up in my room. And I came down, along about 6:10, 6:15, knowing that we had the guest speakers coming in at 7:30 on Saturday night. And I came down and wondering, well, probably nobody left in the restaurant. They'll all be out somewhere. Well, I was wrong. We had taken over the entire Roadway Inn restaurant, just people thinking the way I was, and that is, hey, I'll have a nice quiet meal all by myself. Wrong.
Sure.
There were like 30 or 40 of us in that restaurant. And it overloaded the poor restaurant people. But again, everything worked out. Everybody was in good humor. And so it was fine. And, you know, I would encourage any of the clubs to do that again.
Now, I understand that we have not made a selection for the 2008 convention. Is that correct?
Oh, that's correct. We several people have spoken up, but in each case, it's been a but and an if.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still looking very much, Fred, for someone to step forward saying, well, look, why don't we have the convention here in my hometown, or even, I would be glad to host a convention, but I don't think my hometown is right. But, you know, maybe I could work with the NRC board or the others to find a good city and set the thing up. So, no, we're looking forward to that still.
What kind of criteria is there for hosting a convention?
Picking a location, I think, is perhaps the most important part of deciding if I want to host or not. The location, there are several things that we really must have, and that is ease of access by air or bus or automobile, I suppose. Boise certainly was easy by air. My goodness, terrific airport facility there. But if you have a location with ease of access and nearby hotel space that we can afford, hotel space that includes a meeting room. And just what is an affordable hotel space? Well, of course, that number goes up every year, as you can understand. This year, we started at $59 for the hotel room. By the time we got out of there, the bill was nearly $70 because of local taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But and that was still okay. The access by local shuttle service was very good up until 10 o'clock at night, which took care of all but a couple of people, I think. And then with the meeting room, as I mentioned, we need a place for 20, 25, 30 people to be able to meet. And the one in Boise was beautiful. It would seat closer to 50, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is to decide what kind of a convention you want. There are two distinctly different types of conventions. One has a focus on tours, and that was the one we had in Boise. And by the way, the one two or three years ago in Batavia, New York, where most of the activity was on going around and seeing what was in Rochester and Buffalo and Toronto.
Right.
A different kind of convention is where we maybe have a tour or two of something in the city. In Akron, for instance, we had plans to go to the Rubber Museum and another one on automotives. And if you remember what happened, both Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, the skies opened up, and people said, the heck with it, let's just stay where we are.
Not to mention a power outage, too.
Well, there was a power outage that really blew. Yeah, that's right. You were going to make a presentation. We couldn't run any of the equipment. But so those are two different types. And, of course, a mix of the two is best.
Sure.
So all you have to do is say, hey, you know, I'd be willing to host something. I have a little time I could spend in helping make arrangements if the NRC board would step in and help, too. And we do. We'll take care of things like publicity and all the administrative parts, paying the bills and stuff like that. We can take care of that for you.
And if somebody would like to bid for a convention, how would they go about placing that bid? Who do they contact?
Well, okay, the National Radio Club Board has asked if I would host that again this next year. And so I'm going to give you a mailing address, and it's simply me. My name is John Bowker, B-O-W-K-E-R. And the mailing address is a P.O. Box 5192, and that's in Sun City Center, Florida, 33571-5192. And all you have to do is tell me that you're interested, and you know, you can ask for more information if you want. Give me just an idea of what you have in mind, So that starts a dialogue. And then if it looks good, what we'll do is exchange email addresses or even telephone numbers in a pinch. And we'll take off from there, Fred.
Thank you very much, John, for all the convention information.
Well, thanks for asking. It was a ball, and we're looking forward already to 2008.
Hello, DXers, sports fans. Ken Honest, Chuck back here. And I hope you enjoyed yourself at the convention. And this month I'm going to do corrections and additions. First, the National Football League. The Indianapolis Colts, I start out, have moved to 1070 WIBC, 97.1 WLHK on a 38-station network with Bob Lamy and Chris Owens. And the New York Jets are on 1050 WEPN. It was really something when I heard about the San Francisco 49ers dropping 810 KGO after 30 years of doing the broadcast, but 680 KNBR with 1050 KTCT and 107.7 KSAM The Bone offered them a better deal, so they went there. Now I'll go to the National Hockey League, which will be opening up by the time you get this tape. And let's see what I got here. The guides done by the Sporting News give no radio information anymore, so I got to strictly go to the internet. That's the way it goes. The Atlantic Division, I hope these are correct. Any corrections, just give me a call and we'll make the changes. New Jersey Devils, 660 WFAN. New York Islanders may be on WABC, don't know really. The New York Rangers, 1050 WEPN, Brian Mullen and Kenny Albert. The Philadelphia Flyers didn't tell me the station, but they told me play-by-play. I assume it's on WIP 610 with Brian Propp and Tim Saunders. And the Pittsburgh Penguins have moved to 105.9 WXDX with Mike Langer and Phil Burke and a network. In the Northeast Division, the Boston Bruins are on 1030 WBZ with Dave Goucher, Bob Beers, and Five Station Network. The Buffalo Sabres on 550 WGR with Rick Jenneret, Jim Lorenz, and three other stations. The Canadian teams now. The Montreal Canadiens in English, 800 CJAD, no idea the French. The Ottawa Senators... 1200 would be CFGO, the team radio. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are back on 640 Mojo Radio, which I believe technically is CFMJ. Next in the Southeast Division, we go to the Atlanta Thrashers on 680 WCNN with Dan Kemal and Jeff Odgers. Next, the Carolina Hurricane based in Raleigh. On 99.9 WCMC out of Creedmoor and a network. No other details. The Florida Panthers, based out of Sunrise near Miami, on Waxy 790, says Mike Lance, with Randy Muller and Bill Enze, called the ticket. The Tampa Bay Lightning on 620 WDAE with Dave Michigan and Phil Esposito. And the Washington Capitals, well, it's a little strange. 1500 WTWP, 107.7 WTOP, 820 AM. And they also mentioned Talk 3WT, which I couldn't find anywhere. Well, Steve Colby will be doing play-by-play, and at least you know the stations. Out west, the Chicago Blackhawks on 670 WSCR with Dale Talon. The Columbus Blue Jackets didn't mention the station, but I'm pretty sure it's on 1460 WBNS and 101.1 WBCD with George Matthews and Bill Davidge in the network. Detroit Red Wings are on 1270 WXYT with Paul Woods, Ken Call, and 24 others. The Nashville Predators on 104.5 WGFX and the 9-station network, Pete Weber and Terry Crisp there. The St. Louis Blues on 550 KTRS with Kelly Chase and Chris Kerber. Next, the Northwest Division. The Calgary Flames on 960 CFAC. The Denver Colorado Avalanche, not specifically mentioned, but they should be on 950 KKFN with Norm Jones and Kurt Leshenshin. The Edmonton Oilers on 6:30 CHED with Rod Phillips and Morley Scott. The Minnesota Wild on 8:30 WCCO with Bob Kurtz and Tom Reed, and 20 games in Spanish on 107.5 KBGY. And the Vancouver Canucks on 10:40 CKST and 14 other Canadians with John Shorthouse and Tom Larscheid. The Pacific Division, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, wouldn't release their station, but last year I believe they were on 710 KSPN with Brent Severin. The Dallas Stars released only 820 WBAP. The Los Angeles Kings gave me no information at all. The Phoenix Coyotes on 1060 KDUS with 8 station network with Bob Heathouse and Louis DeBrusque. And finally, the San Jose Sharks on 98.5 KUFX with Dan Rusinowski. Well, this is a convention issue. Fred wants a lot of time to get things out of the way, so I'll let you go for now and talk to you again next month. So long, friends.
Thanks, Ken. This is a special message to those of you who subscribe to the cassette tape edition of the DX Audio Service and live in the United States. Those of you listening on MP3 or outside the States can just take this as an FYI. But if you're listening via cassette tape and live in the United States, please listen to what I have to say. This is so very, very important. Recently, we were dealt a great disservice by the United States Postal Service. The cost to mail a cassette tape has increased from 63 cents to $1.30. Now, before you call or write, yes, some tapes are still getting through with 63-cent stamps. But I've also had to pay the difference in postage for tapes sent here, lacking the full $1.30. Thank you very much. According to the United States Postal Service, the issue is that the postal regulations have changed, and any item thicker than 1/4 inch is now subject to this higher rate. Ironically, it's now cheaper to send a tape to Canada, the United Kingdom, and even Kuwait than it is to someone right down the street from me. Go figure. The National Radio Club has been paying the difference of 67 cents per member per month for the past 4 months. However, if the DX Audio Service is going to continue, we got to do something to change this. If you're not aware, the DX Audio Service lives on the money that you pay for a subscription. We are not sponsored. We do not get funding from other sources, nor grants from disability agencies. We have to pay all our expenses from the subscriptions that we collect. And at present, we're losing money. I realize that a lot of you can't afford a rate increase, and I don't want to increase the cost of a subscription. So I have to do something creative to keep this magazine going. I've studied the law covering the sending of free matter for the blind, and I'm going to roll the dice and see if we can keep the dues at the present rate simply by changing as many subscriptions to the free matter method of mailing. Now, if you are blind, your subscription will be changed to free matter. If you are not blind, the club still has to pay the $1.30 just to mail your tape. Now, according to the Postal Service, either way, it goes by first-class mail. On the next edition of the DX Audio Service, you'll find a card and an envelope in with your tape. This card will have only one question. Are you legally blind? Please check the appropriate box and send me back the card. Please, no phone calls, as I need a written record in case I'm challenged by my problematic and sometimes dysfunctional local post office. And there's two downsides if you don't reply. First of all, if you don't reply, and we don't have more than a dozen blind members respond, then the subscription rate is going to go up, effective immediately. If only a few blind members respond, it might be necessary to raise the cost to over $40 for a subscription, or maybe even just make the magazine internet only and just get out of the cassette tape business entirely. Secondly, to those who do not respond, I'll have to hold your tape starting in January until I do hear from you. So it's really important to both of us that I know one way or the other. And since we had nearly 100% cooperation on the survey at the beginning of the year, I know that each and every one of you can put forth the effort to mail back my silly little card. Now, I'm a member of the Lions Club, and I've talked to several other magazines on tape, and this postage increase has been hurting a lot of cassette magazines. Those that are not sending free matter and are not subsidized either have to pass their costs on to the subscribers, or they're just simply going out of business. Personally, I would like to keep doing the DX Audio Service for all of you. I enjoy it, and I know a lot of you enjoy it. But I can't if we're going to be losing money, so it's really up to you members. Please mail your cards back in, and let's see if we can get this problem behind us and keep publishing for another couple decades. Until next time, 73, good DX, and get out and support radio. DX Audio Service, National Radio.